I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hello there and welcome to another electrifying episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm your host, Simon Fink, and today we have a double dose of talent from down under gracing the podcast. Joining us are the dynamic duo from Perth's very own psych rock phenomenon. It is Nick and Jin from Pond. With Pond's highly anticipated 10th studio record, Stung, on the horizon, and a slew of national tour dates in the pipeline, Nick and Jin are here to give us a glimpse into the record's sonic journey. Fresh off the release of the mesmerizing single, I'm Stung, Pond is gearing up to unleash their signature blend of psychedelic magic upon the world once again. Now, in today's episode, we're thrilled to sit down with Nick and Jin to uncover the secrets behind the making of Stung and the eclectic influences that shaped the sonic landscape of this record. From the nostalgic allure of 80s Aussie rock to the innovative sounds of today's music scene, Pond's latest offering promises to be another classic record in the Pond repertoire. We'll also dive into the multifaceted world of Pond's band members, exploring the diverse array of projects they pursue outside of the band. And with Nick and Jin at the helm today, in today's conversation, we talk about how they seamlessly blend all their individual strengths and create energies to craft an unparalleled music experience. As an added bonus, we'll also peel back the layers of the history between Nick and Jin, delving into their long-standing friendship, a music collaboration that predates Jin's official joining of the band. Before we embark on this sonic adventure, I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to Layla for her invaluable assistance in bringing today's episode to life. We also want to remind you to check out today's show notes. In there, you'll be able to find links on where you can pre-order Stung and buy tickets to Pond's tour dates around the country. You'll also be able to find all of our socials in today's show notes, which is not a bad idea if you want to follow us, subscribe, all of that kind of stuff, so you can stay on top of all the incredible guests that we have coming up on the podcast. So without further ado, let's get into our conversation with Nick and Jin from Pond. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Nick Albrook and James Jin Ireland from Pond. Gentlemen, good evening. How are we?
Very well, thank you.
Good, thanks. Thanks for having us on.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for your time. Nick, I know I've had the pleasure of chatting with you once or twice before, but Jin, it's lovely to meet you for the first time and be able to have a chat. So yeah, thank you very much for having a chinwag with us.
Easy.
No probs. Nice to meet you too.
It's a pretty exciting time at the moment for Pond fans because we've got a brand new record, Stung, coming out next month in June. Congratulations on this. It's pretty exciting, I imagine, for yourself as well, hitting the big 1-0 in term of albums.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think we're pretty happy with it.
What is it that... I was trying to look this up before. What is it for? I think for 10th wedding anniversaries, you usually get like tin or aluminium as the
tin.
As the wedding gift. It's meant to like show strength of the relationship. Is there anything that you kind of get one another for a 10th record together?
Tins.
Tin, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a tin.
Perfect. Absolutely love that. I'm curious though, is there any possible celebration record related that there might be for this record, or is it not just another record, but is it kind of BAU in terms of having a new Pond record out there and being able to kind of bring new music to the people?
I guess in a way it is business as usual, but like it's never really business as usual. It's always exciting. It's always a huge kick to put something out that you've put a lot of emotion and energy and work into. It doesn't really get old. It's always cool.
Of course. Well, I think there's a lot of excitement around this record from what I've heard. Is there's rumblings or there's talk that it's a double album or that this is quite maybe the lengthiest Pond record?
Yeah. It's pretty long. We sort of, I think we've finally taken the, unleashed ourselves to do the overblown, like Tusk, Sign of the Times kind of thing that sort of typifies albums that I really like, at least, because I think before we've been pretty brutal with like chopping out anything that doesn't fit the vibe of the record or the aesthetic of it or something. And this one, we just sort of dumped it all in.
Yeah, we made a conscious effort to sort of make it a bit lengthier than our previous record, because our Pond 9 was quite short.
Yeah.
And I think it was supposed to be long, but then we ended up cutting a whole bunch of songs. So we just didn't do that this time. We were just like, the filter was open. Every song had its little had its chance.
Yeah, because usually there'll be songs that we, like with Nine, there's songs that we really like and we think are real good, but they don't sort of fit the mood. So you save it for B-sides or something. But with this one, it's just like the mood is everything.
Was that kind of, I know you said that this time around that was the thought going into it. Was there any kind of parameters that you guys put around it, or was it just almost like a free-for-all and then seeing what stuck, what landed, what came from those kind of sessions?
I think it was pretty much a free-for-all. I mean, like there's always vague guidelines at the very beginning, but they only last a couple of days. Like Gum always has like fleeting visions of what the next album is going to be. Like, oh, it's going to be a really, really orchestral jazz album. So you go, all right, sweet, we'll make sort of work on some things on that vibe. And then next time you see him, he's like really into a sort of guitar pop, So I just reckon real poppy guitar stuff. And then next time it's like, I reckon we're on a sort of D&B kind of,
junglist
massive.
Yeah, it's a big there was no real usually we have something to sort of grab onto.
Yeah.
Whether it's just something that we're like
full Resner,
yeah, something that we're just like talking about a lot during that time, or something that we're listening to a lot, I suppose. But the last Pond 9, we were kind of like channeling Trent Reznor a little bit for a while.
The key words were like full Reznor, Matrix, Lime Green, Blade, that sort of vibe.
Obviously, it didn't end up sounding anything like that. But yeah, there kind of always is something that's sort of, floating around.
It's funny that you kind of mentioned Jay just before. We were very lucky enough to have him on the podcast last year in support of his solo record, and because we kind of mentioned like what's forthcoming for Pond potentially, and I think that he mentioned one or two genres that, again, sound nothing like what has kind of turned out in the end, which is also lovely to hear. Obviously, that there's a lot going on musically for the band. With this new record, from the singles that have been released so far, it does kind of seem like there's like a through line with the two songs that are out at the moment, with I'm Stung and Neon River. I think previously on Nine, there was a lot more elements of like soul. I think we maybe even spoke about Bette Davis at one point, Nick, when Nine came out. This seems to be a little bit more rock focused, or not rock focused, but I think there's a feeling, a vibe almost of like 80s Australiana rock with some of these songs. And I'm curious whether that was the influence this time around, or whether that's just kind of permeating because that's the music that you guys love regardless.
I think that sort of, you know, that sort of genre stuff like sits very deep in my brain and guides a lot of, so like Stung, the song is, you know, like I kind of like wrote the music, or the idea of the music. Gin and Gum made it more good. But like things that come mainly from my brain probably often have more of a like rugger shorts wearing Australian dad vibe, like a bit more Triple M. But like, but I think like Neon River, that's like, that was sort of Gum getting his, I think that was one of the things that we said a lot of during this album was that rock is back and the boys are back and that rock is also back.
And LARPing for some reason.
Oh, was LARPing, a big one. Yeah. There's a big theme about LARPing. And Neon River has the LARPing section at the beginning and then the full what?
It's not real strict. I mean, anything that was like slightly folky for Pond was, we would just say it was like LARPing. Like, you know, the music, you know, the music that would accompany like a Renaissance fair. You know, people dressed up in chainmail and stuff like that.
It weirdly kind of fits Pond's aesthetic in a way, and I mean that as a compliment. It's a funny kind of thing, but it's very interesting that you mentioned that. I'm curious, Jin, for you, when Nick comes to yourself and Jay with kind of like the foundations or the bare bones of a song like this, what's your usual approach into, I guess, not changing it, but like adding to it, as Nick said, adding that magic to it?
Yeah, basically the first time I hear it, I just see if there's anything to be improved on. Not that it's necessarily can be improved on, but chord progressions, you know, chord progressions that sort of like it's basically chord progressions and production is my go-to.
Yeah,
I listen to the melody first, I suppose. And if there's anything that can better help the melody, the idea of the song, the lyrics come across in a more interesting way than maybe the demo's been played and recorded, that's just what I bring to the table, with, I suppose.
Yeah, like you, like with Stung, for example, I came in with just one sort of series of chords, but then Gin changes a bunch of the turnarounds and the like the sort of harmonic side of it to be more interesting, so that it's not just me like hammering away at four chords for like 5 minutes. and changes like rhythms and emphases on the drums and stuff to be more exciting and more like a song.
Mm. It's obvious that obviously the dynamics within the band work very well. You obviously complement each other in quite a good fashion. Is it correct in that this song came together, or the idea of the song came together while you were mowing the lawn, Nick?
Yeah, it did. I was actually whippersnippering, but maybe it might just be easier to say mow the lawn. I think that's caught on a bit better. But I was whippersnippering, and I think I was doing very, very inefficient work because I kept on stopping to make little notes.
Mm.
And it was a massive, massive yard too, so it took me forever.
I'm curious, I guess for the both of you, and Jin, if you want to go first, and then Nick, is there – a discussion that happens when you do come together. Like, Jen, I know you work on kind of, you've got your own musical projects going on. Nick, I know that you've obviously in the last 12 months, you had your solo record and then Pond. Same with Jay. Same with Joe when he has his Shiny Joe records come out. Is there like a discussion that's had in relation to getting Pond back together and it being a Pond record, or is it just that songs are being written at all times and that at some point it kind of comes together that you'll get back in the studio to record them?
Yeah, probably songs are being written kind of at all times, I suppose, whether it's for someone's solo project or for Pond. Usually I'd say like if someone writes a song and they're like, oh, that's pretty like decent, they'll save it for Pond. Would you say?
Yeah, probably.
And then everything else is like, oh, I'll save that one for my solo project.
But you and Gum have like catalogs of, like you've got so shitloads of, Jin has shitloads of like musical ideas just on like on a hard drive.
Yeah.
I think Gum does too, but I like, you know, I sort of write songs and then some of them I'll throw in the bin or just leave alone, and some of them are like too corny, so I'll save it for my solo project. And if they're like real stonkers, then I usually get all giddy and rush over to Gin or Gum's place, wagging my tail.
I guess the difference between your songwriting and my like ideas that are just saved on a hard drive are your ideas are like songs. You know, they're like, it's like you're sitting down to songwrite. Mine are just like vibes for a song. You know?
Yeah.
And then we get you in with like a full page of words and we try and squeeze some melodies into it and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be a convoluted process.
I imagine with so many moving parts, and again, all of you having your own kind of artist project or way that you do things, that it can be, like a lot of moving parts, but it does, again, seem to be very cohesive and work very well. Jin, I'd be curious, I know, Nick, we've spoken about your kind of introduction to songwriting before. Jin, I'd be curious to know, like, your intro to songwriting and I guess then how you got involved with Pond and the band in, I think, in 2016.
I suppose as a kid I didn't really have a keen interest in, like, songwriting. I just wanted to play music. Just wanted to play piano. It wasn't till later that recording became a thing for me. I was probably mid-20s when I first downloaded like a program to record stuff on, and I started by trying to make like hip-hop beats, which is hilarious. I mean, I still do try and make hip-hop beats, which is hilarious too. But yeah, that was probably because of the stuff I was listening to at the time. Yeah, how did I become a member of Pond? I was playing in a band called Ham Jam. Mm-hmm. Me and my friend Hamish had a band together, and I was playing drums in that band. We were writing and recording songs together, and I think one of you guys came to a Ham Jam gig and Gum was like, oh, yeah, maybe you could, like, jump on the drums.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't until, like, a year later or something that I actually jumped on the drums.
Yeah.
In Pond. But me and Nick have also been like working on music together probably since before that.
Yeah. Yeah, we were doing what was it, Lean Boys.
and a whole bunch of your solo stuff. I went on tour with you that time.
Oh yeah, that was great.
We did the Laneway
tour.
Was
that before Pond?
Yeah, I think that was before.
Crazy.
So yeah, that would have been 2015.
Yeah, that's right. We did Laneway together. A two piece.
Yeah, it was a duo.
I do kind of like that then. There is like obviously like it's nice that there's quite a rich history between all of you and with you coming on board, Jin. And I am curious to hear at some point whether there's a hip hop album coming from Pond or even between the two of you. if that ever comes to a venture. I would love to
That would be incredible.
That would be foul, wouldn't it? It would be a foul situation.
It'd be heavy and beautiful.
Yeah, I think with the idea with the weather was to sample old pond recordings and chop it up like, you know, like Kanye or
Jay. In a sort of hip-hop production way.
Yeah, except then when we tried to do it, this was our concept for the album. We were really excited about it. And then we got in and tried it with one song and realized that the reason people use samples is because the recording quality is like really inimitable and old and beautiful, and all our things sound like dog shit in the early days. So we like tried to sample it and was like, this is dumb. I see why people are always sampling like Motown and Studio One and stuff.
Look, I'm sure that if you're able to move past one song, I'm sure there has to be some gold somewhere in there. I think dog shit is a harsh word, but I don't want to tell you how to critique your own music. That is totally on you.
Thank you.
I know that there's some tour dates across the country in June and July in support of the record. I'm curious for both of you, and maybe Nick will start with you, is there a song from this new record you're kind of looking forward to giving its live debut?
Man, I'm loving playing Black Lung at the moment. We've been rehearsing it.
It's very, very exciting. Jin, what about yourself?
For me, probably Neon River. We gave it a go. We were playing it on the Queens of the Stone Age tour, but it's still fresh for us. And I get to play drums in that song, so get to chop out a little bit.
Oh yeah, and there's like
feels comfy.
Yeah, already, and you've only got tiny little like bits of drumming in that. It's like LARPing, and
yeah,
then you
exactly.
go wow,
exactly.
And back to LARP.
I know that there's a lot of excitement around these shows. We've got tickets to see you in Adelaide, so when you are here, we'll come say hello.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks, man.
Of course, of course. Very excited. For whatever reason, I don't remember why, but missed you on the Queens tour. So, yeah, very excited to see you guys again. I think at Lion Arts Factory. But, again, we'll have all tour dates and the details and where people can buy tickets in the podcast show notes. Gentlemen, would love to wrap up with asking you what you're currently listening to. Jin, if we'll start with yourself. Is there anything at the moment that's on a high rotation for yourself?
I'm listening to that McGee record a lot. It's quite good.
It's very good.
I'm not sick of it yet, but I'm sure I'll probably get sick of it soon because it's been on high rotation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of up my alley.
Yeah.
Sort of like R&B vocals with these weird fucking lo-fi beats to them. Yeah, I don't know. It's really cool.
Yeah, I heard that on the radio this morning. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, he's blowing up a bit.
Stunning, stunning record, Nick. What about yourself?
I've been really obsessed with Two Times by Ann Lee.
Yes, bro.
I love it so much. And that song rips.
Is that
and a bunch of other stuff.
Is it the song I'm thinking of? Is this the song from the 90s or the...
Yeah, play it a little bit.
Please.
Oh, I won't play it. Don't worry.
Oh, oops, I scuffed it. Can you still hear us?
I can hear you. I can't hear the song.
Okay, that's all right. It's great as what you would have missed.
Maybe you can edit a little bit in.
Yeah.
I'll drop the chord.
Yeah. Post this, we'll add it in right at the end so people get a little audio snippet of it. But until that point, I do want to say thank you to both of you, both Nick and Jin. Thank you very much for coming onto the pod, and congrats on Stung, which comes out in June, and the tour across the country in June and July as well. We'll make sure all details are in the show notes for people to buy the record, purchase the vinyl, buy tickets to the show. But thank you to both of you for coming on.
Thanks, mate. Good on you.
Thanks very much for having us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.